Good morning and welcome to the Clear Lake Christian Church. We do have a few announcements we want to mention here. One in particular, Tony Jennings received an award. It's in the newspaper, and there's details regarding that. So the American Network of Community Options and Resources has recognized Tony Jennings, an employee of Opportunity Village, as a 2015 Direct Support Professional of the Year for Iowa. So we want to be sure and acknowledge that recognition. It's a pretty darn nice recognition, to say the least. We also want to mention that the Feed My Starving Children event, be sure and be kind of thinking about that on June 26th, and we'd like to see as many participants as that as possible. Let's see, baccalaureate tonight at 7 o'clock, so we'd encourage any of you that can attend that. And I think Alex told me there's 4 days, T-minus four and counting. Is that right? Alex says he has a reception, too, this afternoon up at the Lakeview Room between 4 and 7. I think Rachel's reception is Friday at her place, 5 to 7. And MJ's is next Sunday after graduation, 3:30 to 6. So be sure and think about those folks, and if you get a chance, why, go to their receptions as well. Let's see. Friday's the share event. Bring your items in on Friday between 6 and 7. Actually, Saturday itself is a share event here at the church. And so we'd like to see, you know, as many items that you don't necessarily use anymore to bring those over so that we can share those with the community that has some needs there. And let me see if we got anything else here that I might be overlooking. Oh, yes, I did. One important, too. The congregational potluck meeting is Sunday, May 31. And so we'd like to see as many folks attend that. It's after church on that particular Sunday. And this morning for the scripture reading, I'd kind of like to read the same scripture regarding, because it is Mother's Day, so I would say Happy Mother's Day to one and all here. Well, we certainly do appreciate our moms. And I want to read the scripture once again that talks about them in Proverbs 31:25-30. She is a woman of strength and dignity and has no fear of old age. When she speaks, her voice is wise, and kindness is the rule of everything she says. She watches carefully all things that go on throughout the world. She is never lazy. Her children stand and bless her, so does her husband. He praises her with these words: "There are many fine women in the world, but indeed, you are the best of them all." Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, as we gather here on this Mother's Day morning, we ask blessings upon our moms, and we know that they indeed are a gift of your love to us. And may we be responsive to show them how much we appreciate their presence in our lives, their guidance, all the things that they continue to do for us every day, including that undying love that they have for us. And fathers, we think about those graduates too. We ask that you be with them and give them the guidance and direction that they so appropriately deserve and walking that pathway of life that takes them down that Christian roadway. Father, we ask that you make your presence known to those that cannot be with us today. And again, we look forward to this baptismal ceremony and Chuck and also Bailey this morning, knowing that that is indeed a very important step in their lives. We ask these things in thy risen Savior's name. Amen.
Well, I want to make sure that if you don't know Tony, that he kind of snuck in after the announcement, but Tony Jennings is the one that Ron was speaking about, who has received the award, and just he came in with his friends from the village, and just want to make sure you know and greet him and congratulate him on that very special award for the important work that he does. Thanks, Tony. And now I'm going to invite everybody to stand and sing with us our opening song, Come, Now is the Time to Worship. And we say, come just as you are. I can't help but believe if everybody out there that doesn't come to church would believe that they don't have to change first before they come, that the church would be filled every Sunday. And we just have to make sure that as many people as possible know that this is for everybody, and you come just as you are, and you come to worship God, and least of all, none of us should ever prevent anybody from feeling comfortable. We want to welcome and make everybody feel comfortable in this place. So, hopefully you are comfortable to be here this morning, and we're here to worship and not anything else. Seated. This is not the time in our service for a children's moment. A little bit later, kids. Right now we have a baptism. So we turn it over to Ron and Pastor and a couple of others.
toward me, I think. Okay, here we go. Now we're cooking. Okay, this morning we celebrate the baptism of Bailey Larson and Chuck Smith, and we'd like to have you read responsively some readings here. They're taken out of Matthew chapter 28 and Romans 6. Those should be in your bulletin there, so if you'd please read responsibly with us on that. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?
We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin.
Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin.
Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. The death he died to sin since once for all, but the life he lives to God.
In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus.
It's always a great joy in our church when we can celebrate baptism. Though someone could be nervous in coming to baptism, they should never be reluctant. For this isn't something that someone would have to be drugged down in here to have happen. Because within our Christian faith, we are promised that at the moment we believe, we are baptized into the Holy Spirit. His indwelling presence is then with us forever. It is therein that we celebrate the rite of baptism, not as something that commends ourselves to God, but rather that we are celebrating the reality of a salvation that has already taken place. That the water is the symbol of the life that is to come. That with Jesus we are buried in our sin, with his death. So that even though it may seem awkward for us, we died when Christ died on the cross 2,000 years ago, if we believe. And just like we died with him, we also were raised with him in newness of life. And it is that newness of life that we celebrate. First for you today, I would ask Chuck Smith to come into the water. And with this, you know, Chuck is one of those that we've really enjoyed getting to know. Because though he's older than most baptismal candidates, he's every bit as sincere. We truly rejoice in God getting a hold of his life, even though it may have taken a while. Chuck, do you know Jesus Christ is your own personal Savior?
Yes, I do.
You want to tell us any more about that? That's an all. You got to give us more than one sentence.
Well, the My story goes, most of you know, is when I found Christ was on February 18th.
Okay, real good.
And since then, it's been awesome.
It has been awesome.
It's just awesome. Every day.
Kind of changed everything, didn't it?
It changed everything. Yes, it did.
Okay, praise the Lord. Why do you want to be baptized?
I've never been baptized before in my life, but I feel having Christ come in, I feel that it's something I got to do, that would be more connected. I'd be more with Him if I get this, get baptized, washed away the sins, and I just want to get closer.
Okay. Well, and so you would say it's your desire that you want to live for Christ all the rest of your days.
Yes, sir.
Well, with your testimony and your confession of faith, that I grab here. Grab right here. Grab hard. I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Next, we'd like to welcome into the water Bailey Larson. Good morning, Bailey.
Hi.
Yeah.
How do you think this is going to compare to running a 1500? She wasn't prepared for that question. Do you know Jesus Christ is your own personal Savior? Okay, elaborate a little bit.
I became a Christian in the BBS.
Okay, and how did you become a Christian?
I prayed that prayer.
Okay, what was it you had to recognize?
That Jesus died for my sins.
He died for your sins, which therefore meant you were a sinner.
Yeah.
Who out here today is a sinner?
Everybody.
Everybody. Sorry, she threw you under the bus. Why do you want to be baptized?
Because it says in the Bible that we should all be baptized.
Okay.
And we talked about baptism Wednesday night, and I prayed to God, and I feel like He put it on my heart to be baptized.
Okay. And what do you think that's going to show everybody out here?
That I'm a Christian and that I believe in God.
Okay. And do you want to live for Him all the day, rest of your days? Okay, real good. Bailey, upon confession of your faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And now, kids, this is the time in our service for the children's moment. So we invite you forward. Come on up. If you consider yourself a kid, come on up and have a seat right up here.
Y'all know what this is. Ooh. Yeah. Can you do it?
Can't be that sound.
Anybody want to try? Okay, do you do the hoop? Do you do that? Come on.
Come on. Hey, hey, come on.
You do it.
Grace.
So good.
I cannot believe it.
Don't kill me now.
Just keep going. You know, what we have here is a circle, you know, and it goes round and round and round. I want to know where that circle starts.
Nowhere.
Where does it end?
Nowhere.
It's got to start someplace.
Nope.
And it's got to have an end. You know, God's love is a lot like this circle. It starts with God, but it doesn't have an end. And it tells us in Jeremiah, it says, I love you people with a love that will last forever. How long is forever?
A long time.
You think we can count forever?
No.
All of you, put your hands up and let's count forever. Are you going to do it now? One, two, three. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Is that forever?
No.
No, I tell you what you need to do. You need to put your hands up in the air and wiggle your fingers. And then we'll count, okay? 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 110. Is that forever?
No.
No. Well, what about if we have everybody out there help us? Put your hands up in the air and wiggle your fingers. Now, turn around and look. Is that forever?
No.
And you see, that's like God's love. God's love starts where God starts, which is in the beginning, and it goes on and on and on. And you can't run away from it. You can't say, I don't want it. It's just there. God loves each one of us as if we were the only one. It tells us in Psalm, oh Lord, whoops, that's the wrong one. Sorry. Thanks to the Lord. For he is good, his love endures forever. So how long does God's love last?
Forever.
Let's pray. Precious Lord, we thank you for your love. We love you because you first loved us. Help us to appreciate that love, to share it with all of those around us, and tell the world that God loves us now and forever, if we believe. We pray this in your son's name. Amen.
Thank you, Jane.
The kids are going to return to their seats now, and as they do, we can stand and reach out and greet the people next to us, find out what their name is, and we'll continue in just a minute.
the stars and he holds my heart with healing hands that bear the scars, the rugged cross where he died for me, my only hope, my everything. Jesus, he loves.
Singing for the glory of the risen King.
You may be seated. What an awesome privilege to sing for the glory of the risen King because we know him personally. We have a lot of things to celebrate. Both Chuck and I got our hair dried much faster than Bailey did. Hallelujah. It's a great day to worship the Lord. And we truly celebrate his goodness to us. John, your little piece in the paper there, the congratulations. I know we all feel heartfelt in knowing what a blessing he is to us to see his willingness to be of service to others that they may enjoy worshiping the Lord. There's so many things going on. What a week. Just yesterday, I don't know what Chris shared. I'm sorry. Chris and I went over to Norris Springs Christian Church. And they run an average attendance of 10 to 15. And there's three people that are trying to not only see that church survive, but thrive. I am a very firm belief it only takes one. It only takes one and a whole lot of prayer and a whole lot of hard work. But within that, I just want to ask you as a congregation to add to your prayer list Norris Springs Christian Church that wants to be part of the kingdom plans for Jesus Christ in North Iowa. That they are going to be asking us for some advice. They're going to be asking us to perhaps give them encouragement and maybe a little bit of help in trying to get themselves restarted. And I think this is a great mission for Clear Lake Christian Church. So please remember Norris Springs. Yesterday had the privilege to be with Brian Lund over at the Christian Reformed Church in Garner. He had his ordination setting in which he did very well. No, but what a joy to know that there are those that love the Lord and want to serve him and see him proclaimed in our communities that others can come to know the love of Jesus Christ. Robin and I have had a few things going on in our life. House is sold. The only thing left, it was an FHA loan, so we have to scrub, prime, and paint the basement to satisfy the FHA, and which is just fine because we don't have anything else going on. Tuesday, we're taking another load down to the container, tickets are bought. July 28th, we will be boarding the plane in Minneapolis for Sierra Leone. So, sorry. Lord is good. July 26th will be the send-off. From here, we truly rejoice in God's goodness and thank you all for your prayers and support as we pray and support you for what God has next. I think it goes without saying that we are at a very important time in the life of the church here at Clear Lake Christian Church. If you think of this as your church home, it is certainly not the time to sit on the sidelines and wait and see what God's going to do next. It's the time for you to come into the huddle and get here and love one another and say, God is going to take us through this transition better, stronger, further than we've ever been before. Let us look to him. Father, with great rejoicing, we love you because you loved us first. We celebrate these two lives today that wanted to bear witness to the fact that you have changed their eternity. You have brought salvation and you hold it in your hand, and no one and nothing can take them out of it. We thank you for the desire that they have to live for you, and Lord, may that be a fresh reminder to each and every one of us. In a country like the United States, it is far too easy to find ourselves distracted with so many things. And yet there's only a few that really matter. Our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Our knowing Him and seeing His power work in our lives. So that it pervades, it becomes the dominant factor over every aspect of our life. Lord, that we still go to work, and we still graduate from high school, and we still make plans. But Lord, it's so that we can know you and experience your power. And by so doing, we make you known that others will come to receive the grace that is only available in Jesus Christ. You're an awesome God. That's why we're here. Lord, we just ask you to minister to us that as we contemplate those things that we need to do, that we pray, that we work hard, that we trust you, that there will be spiritual fruit in all that we do. Lord, be with us in the remainder of this hour that we may continue to honor you, to lift you up, to have your Spirit fill our hearts, fill our minds, that we will leave here changed to be more like you. May that be the goal of our day. Lord, we truly remember today is Mother's Day. May each and every mother feel blessed for that was entrusted to them to raise children, to know the Lord. That, Lord, that they would take upon themselves the joy, the privilege of being a vehicle, an instrument of your love. May they know that even though sometimes their belligerent children don't always show the appreciation that they should, that every single mother here today would know, simply by being a mother, they have honored you and have fulfilled your purpose in this life. Lord, for those that are missing someone near and dear to them, be tender to their heart. Encourage them to know that even in the pain of separation, you want us to know you and your power that will bring us joy and peace. Lord, we commit it all to you. This life is in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Without you, I
temptation comes my way. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
With salvation in Christ, we are given the very presence of God Himself. We are given unbelievable spiritual resources whose content is unlimited. We have already in our possession every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 1:3. And because of all of the truth that we have been given of everything there is in Christ, it would be natural for us to expect Paul to jump in and tell us, now go out and live the Christian life like a bunch of warriors, like a bunch of heroes. And yet, as we see the fullest explanation of Paul's presentation of the gospel and its impact, we're in the midst of Romans chapter 7. And it is therein that he does not camp on the tremendous blessings that we have and thereby should live according to. Hallelujah. But he comes to the reality
that life is a struggle. Because for all, there is the struggle with sin. Even for believers that have come to trust in Jesus Christ, there is this continual battle with sin. The only ones who do not struggle with sin are those who give into it so easily they aren't even aware it's a struggle. But for that reason, it's wonderful that Paul is coming to us in a tone of frustration for himself, as he uses himself as an example, but for compassion. Because by God's design, though we have the faith, though we have the resources to live this life excellently as his children, we continue to mess up. And it's within that struggle that Paul is addressing before us today, the passage, Romans chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. Please join me in your Bibles if you would. The first thing we'll see is law's relationship to sin. Obviously, this was a big deal for a predominantly Jewish audience in terms of referencing the law. So there are some things that Paul knew that these believers needed to understand. Beginning with verses 7 and 8, let us see law's relationship to sin. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. Indeed, I would not have known what sin was except for the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, "Do not covet." But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire. For apart from law, sin is dead. Okay, so here we can see that Paul is trying to get us to first and foremost remember the law came from God. Therefore, it has to be righteous, it has to be true, it has to be holy. And yet we can see here that the law is going to be revealing sin, even provoking it. But the law can never deliver one from sin. That's not what it's designed to do. I think it's very interesting here that Paul, though he could have chosen any of the Ten Commandments to use as an example of how we are all lawbreakers, chooses covetousness. Why? Because it's an inward thing, not an outward thing. We can, with some diligence, modify our external behavior, but it's a little bit tougher for us to modify the desires and attitudes of our heart. So Paul is going to use himself as an example. But as he does, you know, I mean, he speaks of the law as provoking sin. Does anyone have a flower bed that is near a sidewalk? Okay, not very many do, and there's probably a reason for that. We do. And, you know, when people go by and they're admiring the flowers, we haven't done this because we know it would be a disaster. But if you wanted to eliminate the blooms from your flower bed, just take and stick a sign out in the middle of the flower bed that says, "Please, don't pick the flowers." That's what Paul is saying here about the law. He's not saying that the sin is dead. He said the sin is just basically taking a nap. It's sitting there kind of inactive, waiting for the law to come, and then sin takes the law and uses it as its own weapon. This very thing that God started and wanted us to know what we should do and what we should not do, which would be a very good thing. But sin grabs a hold of it. then seizes the opportunity to turn it against us and make it something that is actually provoking us to do the very things we're not supposed to do. It's within this then that seizing the opportunity, if you want to grab a hold of that word, it's a military word, which is like the first step in a campaign. You know, it would be like taking a beachhead or setting yourself up to come and flank from the side when they're expecting you to come from the front. That's the idea here, is that sin is actually taking the law and using it as its own weapon. It doesn't make the law bad, but it certainly makes it a weapon in the arsenal of sin. Number two, law's function regarding sin, verses 9 through 11. Once I was alive apart from law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment, put me to death. Sin is not in charge of the law, but sin can really use the law to bring out the fact that law makes us aware of our acts of sin. Law isn't the cause. Law isn't the sin. But law is being used by sin as a weapon against us. What a telling story of what it is. The law is powerless to empower people to do well or to attain salvation. All it can do is bring condemnation and death. You know, we can see that, you know, we can look at it as something like it was designed to give us help, but gives us condemnation and death. Paul describes that apart from the law, sin is dormant, inactive. But with the law, it springs to life, demonstrating control over our very actions. Sin is the enemy within, and it seeks to destroy. Notice law's wonderful character in verse 12. So then, the law is holy, and the command is holy, righteous, and good. Okay, well, after Paul is telling how terrible this is, he comes along and he says, well, wait a minute, the law has the very character of God. It is wonderful. The misuse of law at the hands of sin does not alter its essential character. It is holy. It is righteous. It is good. And yet it has driven man out of complacency into despair. It allows, by it having that effect on us, it allows the light of the glorious gospel of Christ to shine. For apart from us knowing we were in bad shape, we may not be responsive to the light that is shown. The law is not given to show man how good he can be. The law is given to show man how good he cannot be. The law is God's perfect law. It demonstrates God's righteousness. And in so doing, then, for it to be of any benefit to ourselves is to realize that what God requires is the righteousness expressed in his law. So what is that going to do for us? Well, the only benefit can come when we realize we're in need of rescuing. We're in need of a Savior. So the law is filling its function. The law was never designed to save. It was designed to point out you're in sin and sin brings death. But it's within this then that we can see that Christ came to turn that all around. And that's the story of the gospel. One cannot be saved apart from the power of God and the person of Christ. Paul expresses it this way over in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. Remember, Paul was this Pharisee that was all caught up in legalism of keeping every little bit of the law to show how good he was. And here Paul is telling, no, I was destroyed. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. You heard me pray earlier about our culture that is distracted with so many things. Are you willing to consider making those things in your life a priority as rubbish, like Paul did? Paul set everything else behind him except for knowing Christ and his power. He still kept on living. He still kept on working. He still kept on mending nets. I don't know what mending nets was, but that's where I was headed. We still live life. But knowing the struggle we have with sin, we've got to get ourselves out of the way if we have any chance of being successful in that struggle. And the only way we can is to get ourselves, our thoughts, our plans out of the way so that we can embrace the grace that we've already received to win the day. It's interesting that as we look at this, you know, there's God has always flooded us with his indescribable gifts. One of these is the law. He gives us the law so that we will give up on ourselves and we will instead embrace Christ, who died to take away our sentence of death. We're in a struggle. Let us take advantage of what we have learned. Sin is not our friend. Sin is our enemy. The problem involves not trusting God and his presence and his power in our lives. Instead of not struggling against sin, Paul is telling us we need to struggle against sin because it's there to take what would otherwise be something good and turning it into a weapon to stand against us. The one thing that I know the Bible is clear about in our struggle against sin: there's never anyone else to blame. Somebody else can't do anything to me to make me sin. It is all of my own selfish desires. And so within this struggle, as we think about owning our own struggle with sin, it has nothing to do with anybody else. It's the battle within that sin nature. And I believe God has made it that way for a very important reason. If by human effort we could somehow, some way, attain to the righteousness of God, then Christ didn't need to die. That those of us that are bright enough, strong enough, persevering enough, would be at great advantage to the rest of us scum that wouldn't be able to do that. But God loves us as his own creation, created in his image, that instead the playing field is even. No one can attain that righteousness on their own. It's only by faith in Christ. And yet, within coming to faith in Christ, he doesn't wipe away the struggle, but it almost seems to be worse. And it's within that. May your heart be encouraged today to know this is the way God has designed life. This same Paul that we just read about is the one who says a few verses later in chapter 3 of Philippians, I have not yet attained. In this struggle against sin. And neither will we. It's an ongoing battle. But within that battle, may we experience the presence of our Savior in his power, that we will see victories amid the struggle. Father, thank you that you have loved us so. Thank you that you have called us into your family. Thank you that you have equipped us with everything we need. And Lord, forgive us for how easily we allow sin to capture our minds, our thoughts, our actions. Lord, may we not look to anyone else for shortcomings, but may we instead celebrate our relationship with you, and may that motivate us to strive in this life to resist sin and live according to your will, who has loved us beyond measure. Lord, prepare our hearts for communion, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
I always enjoy what posters that might occur up here in the front of the sanctuary here, and this here I think is particularly important too. I particularly like anything that relates to nature, obviously, and butterflies in particular are kind of a good one. But Romans 12:12, I think, is certainly an important message there. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. And I think the faithful in prayer thing is so key to everything else that goes on out there when we're serving the Lord. For our communion scripture this morning, I'd like to read from the book of Luke. Jesus took a loaf of bread, and when he had thanked God for it, he broke it apart and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given to you. Eat it in remembrance of me." After supper, he gave them another glass of wine, saying, "This wine is a token of God's new agreement to save you, an agreement that is sealed with the blood that I will purchase back your souls when we meet again." Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, as we gather here this morning on this joyous Mother's Day, Lord's Day morning, we ask thy blessings on this broken loaf and this precious cup, and may they fill our lives with spiritual nourishment. and love for thee and our fellow being. And may thee indeed direct us down those pathways, sometimes though difficult but right, those pathways that lead us closer to you, to the Word. And may we find those pathways a way to bring others to come to know thee and thy Son. And Father, we ask that you make your presence known with the sick, the elderly, and those who cannot commune with us this day. In thy risen Savior's name we pray. Amen.
Two things I want to share with you fairly quickly before I have those that would like to join the church today come forward. Number one, it is very easy for us as human beings to feel that in our struggle against sin, we're an island to ourselves. That, boy, if people just knew what I was struggling with, what dirt they would think I was. We're all in it together. And secondly, to think about having the idea that you're trying to do this struggle under the law, in your own strength, by your own efforts, is not what brought Bailey and Chuck into the water today. What brought them in was the freedom of trying to be good enough themselves, but rather recognizing this is only possible by a gift. If you have not yet received Jesus as your own, then you don't know what it is to have that freedom from that struggle of wanting to be better, and it just doesn't seem to be happening. That though the law is there to tell you what to do, it seems more like condemnation than help. And God's going, that's exactly what it's designed for. To point you to the one who can set you free. Today we have before us, we have Chuck and Mary and Bailey that would like to become members of Clear Lake Christian Church. So Ron, if I could have you run up here real quick. And grab a mic and we'll just, hey, we have several questions for you. Come on up. Stop hesitating. These people are hungry. I think they just stall just to make sure I don't get a big head or anything, that people do exactly what I tell them to do. It isn't about me, it's about him. Ron, I'll let you take over from there. You got, okay.
Hey, we got some really good questions for you guys. Bill, Chuck, and Mary. And why don't I ask you maybe individually, if that's okay? And I'll ask the question, maybe it can be first, Chuck and Mary, in response. Okay, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of the living God? Yeah. Chuck?
Yes.
Mary? Do you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Amen? Chuck?
Yes.
And would you like to interact with the Clear Lake Christian Church and become very involved and active members here in this church community? Amen? Hey, welcome here. Yeah.
You guys just slide into the first pew here. Yeah, just slide in here. At the conclusion of the service, may the church family come and welcome them into our fellowship. As it is, please stand for prayer before our final song. Lord, we truly thank you that we have come into your presence today. Lord, we have testified of your goodness. We have seen others testify of your goodness, and we embrace that as part of our own celebration. Lord, within life that can be difficult at times, you want us to walk with you. You want us to know that in the good experiences and even in the bad, you want us to trust you. Lord, help us that we would want to free ourselves from allowing sin to overtake us and control us, but instead that we would win that battle for ourselves, for you, for the glory of the kingdom of those that are yet to come, because they can see the example of our lives. Lord, if there is anyone here who does not know you personally, I just ask, Lord, you'd put on their heart to just come to me and just say, Scott, I don't know Jesus, but I want to know him. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks so much for being with us this morning, and may today be a good day for all of you. Make sure you greet our new members, and hope to see you all next week. Woo!